All right, without further ado, I'm going to turn our broadcast over to Donna Glover and her wonderful cohorts there at Cypress Fairbanks in the Houston area. Donna, you want to take it away?
Then we will just get started. I want to introduce our team here, and I'm lucky, so blessed and fortunate to work with an incredible team. And I couldn't do what I do, and we couldn't do what we do without each other. So this is Chuck Holcomb, the best with low vision in the world. This is Casey Kreger, who does things with, I would never want to do public transportation without him. This is Amy Tangi, who does all of our deafblind students, a huge job. And this is Megan Matkin, who bravely joined us this year, and she's so sharp and so with it and just jumped right in. So I'm very thankful that they're on our team. So we'll just get right started into the PowerPoint. We're just learning as we go, so don't hesitate to correct me if I'm wrong. What we always want to focus on is what's best for kids and what are we doing for kids. So we'll get right started with, we have a new O&M law that was signed, I believe, June 15th, and it goes into effect September 1st, so we are already there, but you are expected to implement this new law starting September 1st of next year. So it's time to get started. This is the big, long law that you're seeing, and what I'll do is break it down for you and what we feel that it actually says, and we're just trying to interpret. The first thing that the new O&M law says is, an orientation and mobility evaluation must be conducted by a person who is appropriately certified as an O&M specialist. And let's hope that we're all already there. Then the next part of the law is, to determine a child's eligibility for a school district special ed program on the basis of visual impairment, the full individual and initial evaluation must include an orientation and mobility evaluation. So that is a change. What they're saying is, when a child comes in and we're seeing if they are going to qualify as VI or not, it used to be that just your VI teacher made that determination. Now the O&M has to be a part of that process. The O&M has to do an orientation and mobility evaluation as well. The next part of the law says that the orientation and mobility evaluation must be done in a variety of lighting conditions, as well as a variety of settings, including within the student's home, school, community, and in settings unfamiliar to the student. And let's hope that we're already there and already doing that with kids. The law is also saying that the district has to now provide for a certified orientation and mobility specialist to participate as part of the multidisciplinary team in evaluating data on which the child's eligibility is based. So what we've been saying for a long time is, you're not the special ed director, you're not the human resources director. Hopefully they will get you what you need and you'll do what's right for kids and recommend what's right for kids and then ask for the staffing to cover that. We never want to make decisions based on the current staff we have, or you'll never get new staff. Another part of the law is, the scope of any reevaluation by a school district of a student who has been determined after the full individual and initial evaluation to be eligible for the school district's special education program on the basis of visual impairment shall be determined by a multidisciplinary team that includes a certified orientation and mobility specialist. This is a new thing for us. This is something that in our district we had not been looking at, and that is, how are we going to do this? What we have been doing in Cy-Fair School District is, we have been evaluating everyone, but we were not covering this. So what this says is, let's say I did an orientation and mobility evaluation, and I did not qualify that student. Every time they come up for a reevaluation, I now have to be part of the multidisciplinary team that determines if an additional orientation and mobility evaluation is going to be recommended or not. It used to be that the VI could just say that. They would come to ARD and just kind of talk about it and decide for us if we were going to do an O&M evaluation or not. Now the O&M needs to be a part of that team that makes that determination. And we'll talk more about different ways to accomplish that part of the law. The law says that this shall be implemented no later than the beginning of the 2014-2015 school year. So you have a little bit of a grace period this year to get this going, which I suggest you do, so that you're not slammed on September 1st of next year. But as of September 1st of next year, you've got to be doing the things that this law says. And we realize that in our district, you know, you may be looking, and we've got five O&Ms up here. That's a lot. Cy-Fair is the third largest school district in the state. We have a lot of VI students, and we realize that that may not be your situation. So please take what we say and apply what you can, change what you need to, and see what works where you live. Okay, so this law is listed as Senate Bill 38 or House Bill 590. They are the exact same thing. So if you go home and Google this, you can find for yourself the exact O&M law, and those are two places that you can look for it. It's the same thing. That was just how it went through the legislature to be passed. So why do we have to do this? What happened? Why are they doing this to us? The reason is, when we do the annual registration every year, what we told Texas is that 56% of students with visual impairments have received an O&M eval in the last 3 years. So 44% have not. When you do the annual registration every year, it asks two questions that pertain to O&M. The first one is, does this student receive O&M, yes or no? And the second question is, have they received an O&M eval within the last 3 years? And these are the results that we as a state gave to the state by way of our answers on the annual count. So just a little over half is not very many. In Cy-Fair, implementing different procedures that we've tried, we've been able to get our numbers on the annual registration up to 76% in the last 3 years have received an O&M eval, and 24% have not. We're certainly still not perfect, but we're trying to get there and improve our numbers and up our numbers eventually to 100%. So what we just talked about is the numbers that we gave on the annual registration. But if you think back to the law, that's not really what the law is asking. The law is asking, have they ever received an O&M evaluation? So we looked at those numbers as well. And in Cy-Fair, currently, we have 88% that have ever received an O&M evaluation at some point, but still 12% have not. And you'll see that those numbers are different numbers than what's recorded in the annual registration of students with visual impairments that only looks at the last 3 years. It was really scary when we decided to do this, and we had to think as a team, how are we going to make this happen, and what are we really getting into if we bite off this challenge? Now we're going to have to do it. We decided on this formula to kind of get an idea for what we would be looking at. And what we did is took our total number of VI students. Last year we had 149 VI students in our district. Then we divided that by the number of certified O&Ms. And we chose to activate a three-year plan. Now we're getting down to the rush, but we've been doing this for a while. That will give you your estimated number of evals per year. Here's the example of how it happened in our district. And we looked at this last year when we only had four O&Ms. We've just added Megan as our fifth this year. So this is still based on four certified O&Ms. We had 146 students. I think I said 49. That was wrong. And we had four O&Ms. So that equals 36.5 evals per O&M. If you divide that by 3 years, which is the plan we chose to use, then that's only a little over 12 evals per year per O&M. That's more manageable. That's something we thought, okay, maybe we can do this. Maybe we can bite this challenge off. And if you divide that by 12 months, then you've really got a good number. Then we were looking at a little over one eval per month. That is totally doable, was totally doable for us. Now, I realize that your numbers will be very different. Everyone's numbers will be different, but that will give you an idea of what you're looking at and give you an idea of what you need to go to administrators and say, okay, according to this new law, this is what we have to do. This is the number that we're looking at per year or per 3 years, or if you're going to try to get it all done next year. This formula will work on that second part of the law as well. that tells you that you need to be involved in the multidisciplinary team. For us, those functional individual evaluations come up every 3 years. So if we take that same formula with the number of students with visual impairments divided by the number of O&Ms, divided by however many years you want to implement, that'll tell us how many we need to go look at as a part of that multidisciplinary team as well.